You're listening to Dots, Lines, and Destinations, a travel podcast with hosts Stephen Seagraves, Foz Mamoon, and Seth Miller.
Hello, and welcome to episode 555. Really? Is it 555?
Well, the last one was 554, so presumably yes.
Numbers don't matter.
If we can count.
Where the rules are made up.
Unlike United.
I'm Stephen Seagraves, joined by Mr. Foz Mamoon.
Mr. Global Services for life.
Foz Mamoon, yes. Is that the right honorable now?
Or, I prefer Earl.
Duke of Earl?
I don't recommend, by the way, using right honorable as a title.
I mean, you've talked about it.
But I don't think I talked about how it broke my recon title.
I think we should talk about that
later.
And Mr. Seth Miller. And we're joined by a friend, Cena. How you doing?
Hey, everybody. I'm having a great time. We're here to celebrate Foz's Mr. Global Services.
So, Foz, you hit 4 million miles. That's why we're here. We're in London.
We are in London.
Together live.
The Hyatt Place in East London.
Yes.
With Papa Dom.
Which you're not impressed by.
It's a nice hotel. The neighborhood changed a lot. I haven't been out here in a while.
Great little neighborhood. Yeah. Actually, I've come out here a lot, and I like it. You're staying at the Churchill, right?
Yes.
Is it nicer?
Just slightly. Just a little bit.
It's like, what would you call it, like a five-star hotel?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Not they recovered from their fire a few years ago.
Oh, they're fine.
It was closed for a long time.
Yeah. And it's a Hyatt as well.
It is a Hyatt.
So you hit 4 million miles. That's why we're here.
This time for real.
Because what's happened before?
Last week, United thought I was going to hit 4 million when I was flying home from seeing you.
How close were you?
I was going to be 1,300 miles short.
Okay.
So I got to Portland, like after, I forget, no, did I see you that time? Yeah. I get to Portland, and I walk in, I was in the lounge, walked down to the gate to just get my boarding pass printed, and the gate agent's like, the gate agent was saying that I need to, the captain's looking for me. Like, wait, what? He's like, well, you're hitting milestone today. I'm like, no, I'm not. And so the captain came out, and he's like, well, we'll celebrate twice. So I said, okay. Captain was really cool. He's like, do you want to be announced? Do you not want to be announced? And gave me a coin, gave me a pen and a certificate. So you get a pen now.
Like a writing instrument.
Like a writing instrument. Now, the cool thing about PDX is it's unique to PDX. It actually says PDX on it.
Yeah.
So, great. Get on the plane, get to Dulles. Nothing. Great. Get on the flight on my little regional jet sitting in the exit row. And just before the door closes, the flight attendant comes up and says, you hit 4 million, and hands me an envelope with a pen.
Did it say Dulles on it?
It did not.
Did it say, like, SkyWest on it?
No, it did not. It was just a United Million Miler pen.
Okay. Maybe the trick is you're supposed to get four of them because you're 4 million miler.
Then
you're
still
one short.
Then they missed, yeah, I'm one short. And I didn't get a coin yesterday.
I think the challenge coin, I bet, was the pilot thing.
Yeah.
Not a...
You're right. The challenge coins are supposed to come from the pilots, but so that was last week. I got close. So last night we did Newark Heathrow. The station manager at Newark was kind enough to let us all into Flowers Lounge, so we had a lovely time there. Got greeted by the GS reps. Was Cena was taking pictures of me. What? I got another pen and another certificate. So I now have 3 4 million miler certificates.
You also got a standing ovation.
I did get a standing ovation as well. But the Newark and Dulles pens are the same.
Okay. Thoughts on, I mean, we've done Polaris Lounge a few times. It's been a while since I've done dinner there. But thoughts on the meal service? I was impressed that, like, as crowded as it was, they seemed to handle that okay, other than, you know, waiting for a restaurant space.
Yeah, what surprised me about Newark, right, they took over the space that was classified. And you would think they would have kept the old dining room, but they didn't.
They, like, ripped it all out.
It's there, but it's not part of the dining room. Now. Yeah.
It's for the, you know, place to sit for the buffet.
So the dining room didn't get bigger.
It might have gotten a little bigger, but not
by much. I assume the issue there is throughput from the kitchen, though.
Possibly.
Right? I mean, how many could they cook, but a lot of it seems to be pre-cooked.
A lot of it is pre-cooked. A lot of people also just loiter.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
We spent some time.
So it's not. You don't need kitchen time for the people just sitting there.
Somehow. Can we talk about your upgrade, too? So we were doing newer Heathrow.
What, you want to talk shenanigans?
Yeah, well, I mean, I want to know how it happened.
Bad IT?
So I was most definitely not going to clear. I was booked in W, so I was all the way in the back in row 39 or row 40. I was definitely not going to clear. A few hours before departure, I happened to see the buy up to premium economy was 300 and change. I'm like, well, reasonable. I'll do that. So I did that. I click on the purchase. I get the receipt, and then right after that, I get you've been upgraded email. I'm like, I'm confused. And somehow, bumping up to premium economy automatically kicked an upgrade.
I wonder if it's your pending upgrade was prioritized, and they were willing to upgrade people from premium economy, just not from economy. And so
I think, and I think because I was like number three on the list, I think the two people in front of me were platinums as well. That was sitting next to one of them. I think you were the only 1K in premium economy then, and it just upgraded you.
Maybe it was fascinating. I was surprised that United managed to navigate all that without breaking everything. Because I was convinced when we landed, it wouldn't post.
Well, and I wonder, like, so there has to be some marker on your file, because you're getting all these, your GS now. You've hit 4 million miler. Like, is it just something they put on each record, thinking you would be?
So, in Portland, what they told me, the gate agent told me that it pops up on the pilot's iPad.
Interesting. The pilot's?
Yes, that's why the pilot was looking for me.
Okay.
In Portland.
I'm just surprised because I would have thought flight attendants or gate agents more than pilots.
What's funny is I got more attention last week, with the exception of the Polaris Lounge, than I did this week.
No, they were busy, you know, planning a flight to London.
Yes.
I am surprised they didn't, like, on landing say.
Yeah, one flight attendant came up, talked to me for a little bit at when I got on, and that was about it.
We were the last aboard.
Yeah, I was about to ask. Maybe because we were
They were, like, looking for you, and they're like, well, he's not here yet, so...
Yeah, that might have happened.
Maybe he's skipping the flight. I'm surprised how little overhead bin space there is. Like, for as few seats as there are on that 763, I was surprised how, like, they forced us, everybody in economy, of the six of us flying, three were economy, two in premium, and one in business, right?
Two in business.
Okay, so it's 2-2-2?
Two, one, three.
Three, one, two. One in premium.
Okay, 3-1-2. I was surprised that all three of us in economy had to check our bags.
Well, bins are basically...
We didn't need to. That one woman was forced.
The agent insisted that all people in economy had to check bags going forward, and whatever, like, shit happens. But I made a comment as I was boarding, like, oh, there's plenty of overhead bin space available, and the flight attendant's like, well, yeah, first class. I'm like, those are bins in the plane. Like, I guess you don't want people, like, coming up and getting their bag out during the flight, but, like, I promise you I'm not going to do that.
But normally a flight attendant will tell you, like, you can put your bag up here, but you can't come get anything from it, which is reasonable.
Yeah, cool, I'm going to be asleep. Although I wasn't entirely this trip.
But so going back to the upgrade, what's interesting is even though they upgraded from premium economy to business, they still pulled 40 points. And that should be 30. So now I have to call them next week to get that fixed.
Oh, lovely.
So they're not smart. They're smart enough to process the upgrade. They're not smart enough to do it properly.
Yeah. At least you got the upgrade.
Yes.
You can worry about how much it's supposed to cost later.
Well, and I mean, the bin space thing, it annoys me because the middle bins are essentially, is it the middle bins?
Yeah.
Yes.
Are essentially useless.
Yeah, like, I tried to put the one bag in sideways. You can't fit a 14-inch wide bag doesn't fit.
Yeah, which is stupid. And, well...
They're better than the bins that used to be there.
Oh, absolutely. Like, the 73 bins were terrible.
Yes.
But they could make it so that, like, make an announcement. Be like, if you have a small bag, put it in the middle bin. Use the outer bin.
They do make those announcements generally.
Yeah.
People just don't listen.
I was surprised how quickly the 739ER I took from Boston down to Newark filled up. Like, I boarded at the end of group one. I was probably passenger number 50, and everything forward of the exit row was full at that point.
I believe that.
I believe that, too.
It was the smaller, not the flip sideways, it wasn't the sky interior bins. Also, the flight attendant made two interesting announcements. One was, I'm going to be walking down the aisle now. If you have a backpack in the overhead, I'm going to take it out and hand it back to you, so you may as well do it yourself. And then I watched her pull two bags out and be like, whose is this? Yep, it goes under your seat now, sir. Put your bag up overhead. Like, she did it twice. I was like, all right, like,
bravo.
Yeah, good for her.
Couple minutes there. And also, you know, folks, this is just like, it's a 30-year-old plane and the bags have all gotten bigger. And then, A, it was a 12-year-old plane. B, the bags have not gotten bigger, but the airlines are putting more people inside the planes, both with number of seats and load factor.
So, give me 32-inch pitch again.
Yeah.
Bags fit.
And free bags.
Yeah. How do you feel about it being Global Services? You're done.
I'm done now.
You're done. You're never flying again.
I don't think that's necessarily true, but then maybe the insanity can stop. I say this before we do next weekend.
Yeah.
How quickly did you, when we talked about this, like, I feel like it was years ago, but probably not. Like, you were, like, sort of pacing yourself, and it feels like things accelerated here recently.
This year, yes. Given the changes they announced at the beginning of the year,
yeah,
I wanted to get it before they made any more changes. And so now I have it in writing from them that I will be the global services for life.
Okay. I feel like I sort of did the same thing for 1 Million Miler. Like when I did it was a while ago, and it was like as like the CR1s were getting taken away, and it was thing like weird shit like that going on. It was like, eh, I probably should. I was close, but it was like I should probably get like the extra 30,000 miles this year to lock it down.
And then now they devalued it.
Wait, not the CR1s.
Well, no, but like also the whole companion thing that's coming, where even if you make 1K,
right,
your companion only gets up to gold.
Yeah, that was never going to be an issue for me.
Yeah. Well,
I understand.
For other people, too.
Yeah, no, I understand that the safety evaluation is one that does not affect me personally, so suckers.
poor Ed is listening to this screaming.
he hasn't taken that change well.
No. I mean, I don't love it. I mean, I get it, but I don't love it.
But, just to give them a little bit of credit, they're not rolling it out till 27.
Oh, is it not? It's not next year.
That's my understanding, is that they announced it, so you still have another year.
Can I do 500,000 miles in a year to get 2 million miles?
You can.
I don't want to.
And will you?
No.
That's a lot.
I mean, how many times do you have to do Singapore-Newark? That's, what, 25,000 per trip?
Round trip.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's just
for 20 trips?
20 trips.
So every other week, do a Singapore round, New York Singapore round trip.
I'm good.
So how much shorter is it from San Francisco?
It's, what, 8,700 to 8,600 from San Francisco?
17.4.
Okay, so you're going to need more.
I'm good.
You need like 28 of those.
Not going to.
Okay.
It could be a challenge run like one of our friends did back-to-back Australia run.
I mean, from you could do Joburg.
Via Honolulu, don't forget that part.
True. You're not making it more compelling to say go to Joburg.
What? On the off chance that, like, every now and then you might actually land in Joburg.
Every now and then I show up.
And sometimes you end up in Cape Town. Who can say?
Yeah. I'd rather do the Cape Town, though.
Anyways.
So, Delta has had some news. Their A320 and Neos are going to have 44 first-class seats.
So, a subfleet will, and these are planes that were supposed to be their proper premium config.
Transcon and Transatlantic?
Yeah, and so they're supposed to have beds, flat beds, and they're not certified yet. And so if the bed's not certified, Delta wants to put them into service and has chosen to put extra first-class seats in rather than extra economy seats, which I guess sort of makes sense because you just leave the back half configured the way it is, and when the beds show up, you pull them out. And I guess they have these spare seats somewhere. I'm not sure where they're coming from.
Do we know which lie-flat seats they were going to get?
Are they ripping seats out of the planes that are sitting in Hamburg?
So, those are the ones that they stole the engines from?
Yes.
That could be. And moving them over. I believe the beds were Safran seats, but don't quote me on that.
Okay.
I just said it, on a recording, so definitely don't quote that. that's how quotes work, right?
Done and dust.
But I think that's what it was. But, yeah, like everyone else in the world these days, getting new seats certified is proving a challenge. So it'll be interesting. I guess basically anybody flying on those is going to get upgraded, although I guess not everybody because I see I was number 38 on the upgrade list yesterday coming down from Boston to Newark. So now that's after Q cleared.
So what is driving the delay in certifying all these seats? What does change so much?
That's the question I was going
to ask. Hard to say definitively. My understanding is on the EASA side, they have actually become a little strict is probably not the right word, but a little more strict in some of the interpretations of the rules. These would be a U.S. certification, so I'm not sure what's going on at the FAA side of things. I mean, now everything's going to be delayed even more because of the shutdown. I'm pretty sure those employees are on the furlough side, although the FAA did keep more people not furloughed this time around than historically it has. So maybe some of this is, less bad, but certification has been tough. I was talking with some folks about antenna certification for ERJs, or EJETs, the big ones, and apparently there was an issue where, like, some got installed, but they weren't right, and I don't know if it was vibration or whatever, like, they had to demod the planes, pull them off, fix the certification, and then put them back on.
That's a suck.
Yeah, and it was the FAA one. Like, they pushed it through the FAA, and the FAA approved it, and then it didn't work, and then especially Air Canada, was talking to him. So, like, there were some challenges on that because they got to then take the FAA certification, and Transport Canada has an agreement by which it will approve that, but it's, you know, sort of a rubber stamp, but not. And in this case, definitely not, because, oops, it wasn't working right. And so now they've got to finish that, and then they can, like, Air Canada can finish rolling those out on its E-75s. So.
And then Delta is starting some new routes. Sardinia, Malta.
So those are two of the three that it put up for a vote. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about they were letting passengers vote on which new route to do. If I remember correctly, Sardinia was the selection for passengers, and Malta was the selection for crew, staff, and they're launching two of the three. They're also going to JFK Porto next summer. If you want to run a new service into Portugal, Porto is basically your option. It's Faro also, but Lisbon is full and not going to add slots anytime soon. You're never going to get those. JetBlue is threatening to sue, like they did to get Amsterdam slots. So we'll see how that goes.
What's the draw of Malta?
It's a lovely island in the middle of the Pacific, in the middle of the Mediterranean. It's hot.
I wouldn't call it a lovely island. It's a rock.
Have you been?
I stopped through Malta.
Okay. Did you get out and explore?
No.
So there you go.
Okay.
I've been twice.
Guess I'm missing something.
It has some good history. Interesting hiking, some cool.
But enough traffic for a flight?
It's three times a week, I think. It's not daily.
7-6?
Yeah. It's light traffic, and again, I don't know how many times we've talked about it at this point, but like, there is a weird peak demand for absurdly hot Mediterranean destinations from the United States in the summer.
So it's where all those people on that boat go. We saw on the Thames.
I thought that was Ibiza.
Ibiza. And in Sardinia kind of makes some sense to me. I mean, it's like another Italian destination that people want to go to. So
my parents were just there, Sardinia, Corsica, and it was a pain in the ass to get to flying-wise. And so they were of two minds of it, like, cool, it's great that it'll be easier for everybody else to get to. Maybe it would have been nice if we had this flight because it would be easier for us to have done this trip. But also, like a lot of things, like the Greenland and whatever, like, it really changes the market when it's that much easier for a bunch of Americans to show up.
Yes.
Both in just total volume of visitors increases, but American visitors to European destinations are different than European visitors to European destinations. They behave differently. They have different wants and needs.
Your parents were Delta flyers too, yeah?
Mine? Yeah.
So that would have really...
Yeah, no, they flew Delta Air France. They did some combination of all that for that trip.
And then Delta has some APU issues.
Well, so we talked about this a couple weeks ago with the fumes issue on the Airbus planes, specifically on Airbus, because Airbus had changed its rules for what a fume event was and what was necessary and how quickly they had to repair the APUs when they had the oil leak that caused these events. And it seems like Delta has chosen, and actually a couple of years ago now, it turns out they started this process. It's just been a slog to get the APUs through the cycle, to replace the APUs that seem to be more prone to this problem.
So a specific APU, or is it just, we know it's this manufacturer, and every now and then they have leaks?
I think it's a particular manufacturer, but I think there's like 200-something frames that have to get converted.
Yeah, it's a lot to be replaced.
Wow.
So, good news.
But can they do this pretty quickly, or is it more like, take the plane out of service, take the APU out, it sits while they wait for a new APU to come in?
I don't think it's that they have to sit. I think they have one available, so they're not, like, taking the plane out of service before it's ready.
Yeah.
But they definitely have to take the plane out of service to swap it.
Yeah, it's not a quick thing.
You got to open, like...
Just take the tail apart.
Yeah. It hides up in there.
Play.
No play no more.
Is the Icelandic airline.
Was.
It's dead.
Was.
Yeah. Was. I don't like
this. It's dead, Jim.
Definitely dead.
Dead as in Dornell dead. This... And maybe, it's actually funny. Someone commented... I guess you guys, because we talked about Play last week, having cut all this transatlantic stuff, because I was talking about flying it back from this trip. That's gone. And someone's like, oh, but as I said, they're still flying, you know, within Europe, and I don't know how they're going to make that work. And someone commented like, huh, I guess you didn't get that in before. You must have recorded before they announced that today. And yes, we recorded before they announced it last week. They're done. Last minute, they just closed off shop one day, right? A lot of people's response was, wow.
Which was the
predecessor of Play, basically it's all the same employees and some of those employees.
Didn't they leave a bunch of people basically stranded and said, find alternate things because we just stopped and good luck to you?
Wow or Play?
Play.
I mean, both did.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
The answer is yes.
The same did. Playbook, if you will.
Hey, how many of these terrible puns are we going to make today's episode?
And then Condor came in and gave some really cheap fares to those passengers.
Condor offered rescue fares for a few markets where they overlapped.
Berlin, Prague, and something else.
Cologne?
Yeah, Cologne, probably, yeah. Which is nice of them.
Yeah. But, yeah, again, that was... What's interesting about it is people arguing Iceland can't support transit traffic, and that's why it's failing. These are failing. And I'm not entirely sure that's true, but at the same time, like, the sort of long-haul ULCC model, I wonder if it's more that than because they're trying to transit Iceland to do it.
I think it's a combination of the ULCC model, but also the overflights, right? You can go to think of how when these concepts launched, you could only go to a handful of places in Europe from the U.S. Now we're talking about Sardinia. We've seen Greenland. We've seen like all these secondary and tertiary markets are being opened up from the U.S.
And some of them on single aisle, some of them on old-ass twins, but and some of them on newer twins, obviously. But
nonstop will always trump a connection somewhere.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think the thing with the ULCCs, the ultra-low-cost carriers, is you do it once, and you probably go, that was a mistake, and you never do it again.
I don't think that's true. Like,
you don't think so?
Look at the loyal following low-cost carriers have.
For long haul, though?
Yeah.
Like, so you do Play, and you do Newburgh to, or what was it, Stewart to?
Stewart's Newburgh.
Newburgh, yeah, to Iceland, to wherever they would fly in Europe prop. You have this weird layover. The flight takes, the whole trip takes 14 hours. You're like, well, I could have just flown nonstop to Frankfurt from New York. And got a bag as part of my...
But that's part of the challenge, right? Like, you can go to these markets, but you're not really giving anyone a benefit to take these weird routings.
Yeah.
Right, like...
They're not opening up new markets. They're potentially... I mean, they did try to add service in... Like, Newburgh or BWI has... BWI has limited transatlantic, right? They have BA and maybe a Condor. At one point, I think Condor pulled out this year because of the... Lufthansa feed.
Yeah, I think so.
But so it's limited services, and like going after those markets makes more sense than like trying to fill Boston or Dulles.
Right.
But you have to pick places on the East Coast because that's as far as your planes can go.
You look at Aer Lingus at Hartford, right? That's more successful than Play was at Newburgh because from Newburgh, you're an hour away from Newark.
Yeah.
Right. Hartford, you're two and a half hours away from anywhere.
Fair. Yeah. ICA. Wants in on the A++ JV, which is the Lufthansa JV.
That's the Star Alliance, transatlantic JV. So Lufthansa Group, United Air Canada.
We mentioned this on a previous episode that they were like looking at it, and Lufthansa wanted to be in on it.
Yeah, and at one point I thought that one of the restrictions for the merger was that they couldn't be, but I clearly got that wrong, or misread whatever that was, because apparently the European regulators have basically said, because they're part of Lufthansa Group, and they're coordinated anyways, they may as well be. And now we just need the U.S. government to say the same thing.
And how long will the U.S. government take, you think, with the shutdown?
No, with the shutdown, I would assume longer. I don't think they could act on this until the shutdown ends. I mean, depends on who's working. But it's not great in terms of with the shutdown happening. But I can't imagine this gets denied. I mean, what was interesting about it is all the talk of using Rome as a major hub and how if they have the feed from all the other transatlantic carriers, they can use it for growth domestic and then down further south and east, but even also back up into like other parts of Europe where you've gone past where you want to be.
I mean, that seems unlikely to use Rome for anything that's not east and south.
Yes.
It's the talk about the overflight stuff. I just don't see that being a real case.
And they don't really have much beyond, much of the east, right? It's not like they can do India or Middle East, where you could use that as a jumping point to get to those areas.
But do they start to add some of those then, right? Italy will have different bilaterals into the Middle East, for example, where it's not an EU-wide negotiation. Maybe that helps put capacity into Dubai.
Possibly.
It still needs slots, but maybe they have capacity available.
I mean, this raises the question. I mean, there's been talk of Alaska joining the AABA joint venture.
But what does Alaska bring to the table? They're one flight, they're two flights?
West Coast feed and...
But generally, as part of a JV, you're doing some part of the flying across the water.
They want to do. They have the London Heathrow slot that they've got.
Who'd they get that from?
We don't still don't know. Okay. They've been very quiet.
But is that only for the summer or year-round?
We don't know yet.
Also, I mean, they're also going to have a Rome flight, and yes, typically there's more, but I want to say, like, ITA only has, and it's more than these two, but only, like,
JPLES.
I want to say 30 weekly.
And then Dulles.
And Dulles, yeah.
And Boston.
Boston.
They've got a handful, but it's, like, 30 weekly each way. So.
And Alaska's starting Riverbank as well.
A lot of connectivity to that.
Yeah, of course. Maybe we'll make a low-cost play there. Oh, man, let's just keep going.
You're fired.
So,
stop it.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a show for Patreon subscribers. We're going to talk about Delta and Lufthansa liveries, Porter and AA, Spirit, BA to St. Louis, the 777X, and American Airlines RJs. So stick around if you're a Patreon subscriber. If not, thank you for listening. Thanks for supporting the show. Thanks to Tina for joining us.
Thanks
for having me. Next time, have travels.
Take care.
See you later.
Thanks, see you later for my line.
I preempted you. We'll put that in the intro.